the show, Glenn. And I tell you what I'm going to do here, because we are back on this Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. February. Well, because I know you don't like when I say February. February 23rd. It's a palindrome.
Yep.
All right. So here's what I want to do, Glenn. I've been sitting. How long have we been doing this show now? Two or 3 years?
Yeah, a couple
okay.
years.
And every time we come back from break, I do the promo for Wednesday.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you do it.
I don't know what's
now, see, this is this where you don't pay attention to me.
No, I don't pay any attention to you.
Well, let's see how good you get here. Let's see how close you can get on this day.
All I know is my show is coming up at 12:15.
12:15.
Called A Progressive Life. Is Nate coming on at 4?
4.
And,
do you know the name of his show?
No.
Offbeat News and Trivia.
Thank you.
All right.
And, and the No Name Show is coming on at 5?
5, you got it.
Okay, and I'm leaving one out. What am I forgetting?
Trinity Baptist.
Oh, yeah.
At 6.
Course.
Go ahead, caller.
Sorry.
Hey, can we do a PSA?
Go ahead.
There's a free food giveaway at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum until noon today.
Oh, what kind of food they got over there?
I don't know. I just word of mouth got around, so... I know there's only like 40 minutes until noon, but someone could boogie on over there.
Is it open to anyone?
Huh?
Is it open to anyone?
That I don't know what the requirements are. Most food pantries, I think, are pretty lenient.
Yeah. Also, it's through a food pantry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Veterans Memorial Coliseum till noon.
Till noon, yep. Go soon.
Have you had a Shamrock Shake?
I haven't had one yet, but it's definitely on my list of things to do because I do love them.
Well, report back to us if they're any good.
Don't drink one while driving.
I never met a calorie I didn't like.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, so that's the Daily Buzz, and now there's a food pantry going on over at Vets Memorial Coliseum till noon. So you've got about 42 minutes, so if you live close over there, head over, get some food, and there you go. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944.
You know, a lot of those food pantries have, the reason why I asked her that is, a lot of the food pantries have requirements. You know, you have to have a little card that tells that you're qualified. The food pantry I used to go to when I was working at the credit union, we were giving them money, had no such requirements. I like that idea. I like trusting everybody. I know you shouldn't, but that's the way I am. That's why I never bought a car I didn't get screwed on.
You weren't good with those car dealers,
not
huh?
Good. I trust what they say, and they're lying to you.
No honesty there at all is what you're saying. All right. Well, what else is there to talk about? What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Oh, this morning I was listening to my music. I listen to all sorts of music. I'm the only type of music I don't listen to probably is... real highbrow classical, and I do listen to that too, but I was interested because I like the Gaither Brother Band, or the Gaithers Band, or whatever they're called.
Aren't you playing a Gaither President coming up?
Gaither President?
One of the Gaithers?
I don't think so.
That'll hit you later on.
Okay, I guess.
Think about it.
Okay. When I'm in the bathroom, I'll chuckle.
That'll hit you.
But
sure.
Anyway, I love...
What president are you going to play? James Buchanan.
James Buchanan.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway,
did anybody get that joke, by the way? Or is that just
only you?
Give me a call if you got it. 740-383-9944. Okay, go ahead. Gaither Brothers.
My wife looks at me and she says, "You're an atheist. Why are you listening to that very religious music?" Because their blend is so good. Their harmony is so fine. I turn it up real loud and try not to pay attention to the words too much, but I like the words too.
You know, why is it there are three of them at on this 5 o'clock show today, Nate and Terry and Pastor Craig?
I have no idea.
And they have less trouble than I have with you.
Well, because I'm a curmudgeon.
You butt in and you crosstalk and all this.
I like doing that. Ask my wife.
You know, I love...
Please.
Now, I have known Terry now for a long time. And I love, because I have never heard it on the show, but this is what... Because Terry used to be on my show quite a bit when it was on in the afternoon and he could get up to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be talking about something, and I would throw it out there. I would say, "Well, what's on the agenda today?" And he would go, he'd get like a a bemused look on his face. And he would go, yeah, bemused. See how that's pronounced? Pronounced. And he would say, well, I'm not really sure if I should bring this up or not. Well, right there, you've already said it.
You've done it.
You've brought it up. And he goes, well, the other day, I was at the gas station. Yeah, anything. Yeah. Anything. I was at the gas station, and I gave the lady $10 for a bag of chips. And she didn't give me my change. And I'm but that's how Terry would approach a And I would bet, I have not heard the show, but I'm betting that's how every show starts out, or there is a moment in each show.
Are you saying he goes deeper than he should?
Well, he just, it's like there's always something on his mind that he's ticked about. He's just waiting to discuss it, to bring it up on the radio. Yeah. I don't know. It's just my opinion.
That sounds like my wife. I keep telling my wife, how can you go through life being disappointed in things? Go through life finding the good in things. It's a lot easier.
It's just like he's a walking editorial on everything.
Oh, my.
Well, can you believe that swimming pool did not... They didn't have any swimming trunks at that hotel. You know, that sort of thing.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
But that's him.
Well, carry your swimming trunks in your backpack.
But I have always liked Terry. I've always gotten along with him. I don't think we've ever had a cross word in the entire time.
You should hear what he says about you.
Well, that's okay. I can't believe there's much to say when he's not cramming something in his mouth that ends up on his shirt. He'll probably come in here and take a nap this afternoon on the
Well, I noticed he left something over there on the couch.
You know, I have something for you today, by the way. 740-383-9944. Did you know there was a famous French television personality named Bernard? Now, how would you say this in French? P-I-V-O-T. Pivot?
Pivot.
Pivot?
I think.
Pivot, okay. Bernard Pivot used to ask this questionnaire.
Prevost.
I believe it was 10... What?
Prevost.
Was his name Prevost?
I don't know.
Okay, does anybody speak French out there?
I don't.
P-I-V-O-T. Bernard Pivot.
Okay, what did he say?
Oh, hold on. Give me a break here.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
Well, speaking of swimming trunks...
We don't want to speak of Terry's swimming trunks.
On the day of his inauguration, John Quincy Adams decided to take a swim in the Potomac.
Oh.
Now, of course, he didn't have swimming trunks, so he trekked down to the Potomac River, disrobed completely, and took a nice swim in the Potomac River. While he was swimming, at the time, one of the female reporters for one of the Washington papers had noticed that he was sneaking down to the river, so she followed him. And upon following, she found his clothes. So she hid his clothes and forced him to come out of the river completely naked to talk to her.
Oh, my goodness.
What a day. Poor man.
I love it.
I want to tell you, Glenn knows about this. I read this book a couple of months ago, Best Little Stories from the White House. And it is just absolutely full of things like that. And I just like to throw one in there now and then to kind of tease people a little bit about what's coming up.
We're going to talk about it about 3 weeks from now,
well,
right?
Yeah, like hopefully. I'll probably have to call in. Although I might be able to get my wife to bring me over. It just depends on whether she plays pickleball that day.
Okay.
You know, that's the big rage now, is pickleball. But you mentioned swimming trunks, it just happened to bring that to mind. And he wasn't the only one that swam naked in the river, and we'll save for some of the others.
I noticed the color of that river. Brown.
Well, can you imagine a modern-day president doing that? Only thing that comes close to that, and Scott, you may remember this, we used to have a representative from Ohio. He was up around the... I think it was up around the Youngstown area by the name of Wayne Hayes. Do you remember that name?
I do.
Wayne Hayes was caught skinny dipping in the Potomac Basin with a stripper from Washington.
Oh!
And that, of course, ended his congressional career.
It wouldn't have been more.
You know, I could see Jim Traficant doing something like that, too.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I think they represented the same district. I think Traficant came after Hayes. So apparently he didn't take a clue from Wayne Hayes. But, oh, my God, the thing that used to crack me up about Traficant was that hair.
You know, was it a hair piece or was it not?
I think it was his real hair. I never did hear, but I really think it was his real hair. And, of course, the only one that comes close to that's Trump.
Yeah, Trump. Trump's obviously is not a hairpiece, but I could never figure out if Traficant's was or was not. That was the weirdest hairdo I ever saw.
Oh, it was. It was really strange.
Yeah, very.
Of course, he went to prison for a number of years, and I think he came back out and got reelected.
It does look fake.
I can't remember if he got reelected, but I know he ran again.
Yeah, I was thinking he got reelected by a pretty decent margin, but I could be wrong. I get so many of these politicians roaming around in my head sometimes, I get them confused.
It's a very interesting business to be in.
Well, like I said before, during these kind of times, I think people need to know that there has been some funny things that have happened in presidential lines, and they didn't end with current presidents. They went clear up to even to the ones we have in office now.
Yeah. Things are strange out there.
Hey, are we going to get a big bad storm?
Thursday.
Well, I see. I don't know how big and bad. Well, I don't know. 1 to 3 inches, I think, is what they're saying.
Well, I'd be happy with that. It's better than 11.
Yeah, it's better than 11. It's much better than that.
Okay, guys, have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, if you have anything to say. Now, this talk
I'm sorry, I'm looking at these pictures.
Am I getting in your way today?
Jim Traficant. I can't believe how high that hair was.
So what is it? Was it real?
I don't know. It sure doesn't look it.
Does anybody know if Jim Traficant's hair was real? 740-383-9944. Okay. Bernard Pivot. Okay.
Close enough.
Was a French television personality, and he used to give this, I think it's 10 questions. At the end of every show, no matter who the guest was, he would ask these 10 questions. So I'm going to ask them to you.
Okay.
And just see what you get.
Okay.
It's interesting. Because apparently it's some kind of psychological thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not that I'll be able to tell you what it is, but it's just psychological questions.
Okay.
Okay. What's your favorite word?
Oh. curmudgeon.
Curmudgeon. I bet a lot of people would have said tchotchke.
Well,
you like to say tchotchke.
I say that because I can't think of what else to say. But
junk.
Yeah, junk, I guess.
Where's your junk? What's your least favorite word?
I can't say it on the air.
Give me like a...
Ted said this morning,
okay.
The C word.
The C word.
That's my
okay. least favorite word. Now, here's how this is. I looked this up because when you hear this, silly people think it's something else. The question is, what turns you on? What this is meant to be is what makes you happy, you know?
Sailing.
Sailing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you said sailing.
No.
Sailing. Why sailing? That's an odd thing.
Sailing.
Sailing.
Yeah.
Okay, what turns you off?
Having to answer stupid questions.
Like this one. This right here.
Now, that really doesn't turn me off. I like doing that, too. But I can't think of too many things that turn me off. I don't like having my teeth worked on.
What sound or noise do you love?
The sound of birds in the morning.
What sound or noise do you hate?
The sound of something leaking in my house.
Now, obviously, you can't answer this, but you can tell us.
Okay.
What is your favorite curse word?
I can say it on the air.
Can you?
Yeah, because I use it. Damn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Politician.
Politician.
Yeah.
What profession would you not like to do?
Right now, at my age, politician again. No, I don't want to be a garbage collector. I'm sorry. I hate smells like that.
And the final question here, and batten your hatches for this one. Hold down the fort. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You're in.
There you go. And that's the Bernard Pivot, French television personality questionnaire that he gave every guest at the end of his show. And it's supposed to say something about the people.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. But
I need to go to a home. That's what that means.
Well, I think it's interesting because none of those questions are opinion.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's a factual, it's fact to you.
Yeah.
You know, what's your favorite word? Wouldn't you like to hear some of the presidents, important people of our time, like Lincoln and Washington and I'm trying to think of somebody else, Edgar Allan Poe, answer something like that?
Oh, I'd love to hear that, yeah. But you know what you really need to do, and I know it's given off the cuff and they have to answer quickly, so maybe that changes things if you give them, you know, a half an hour to fill out a form that says all that. I'd like to really have them think it through because it's hard to think up things like that. My favorite curse word being damn, it's probably not my favorite curse word.
But you know, the spontaneity of it, I think's the point.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, that whatever comes to your mind may be the truth.
Now I'm thinking of my favorite curse word.
Well, isn't it funny though how a lot of times the first thing that comes to our mind we try to doctor up before we say it, when really that was probably the truth.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. Well, let's see what this person has to say on the line. Bernard Pivot. Go ahead, caller.
To bother you guys again, but did either one of you see the documentary-type thing on the History Channel, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday about Lincoln?
I did not, and I really wanted to.
Oh, it was excellent.
I'm going to try and see that.
Well, I would imagine that they'll run it again. They normally do that.
Sure.
But it's a three-part series, 2 hours each night, and it was very informative. They have characters portraying, you know, the different people, because it goes, you know, back and forth between people that they're interviewing, like historians,
mm-hmm.
and then they tell the story as it goes. So if you get a chance, watch it. Anybody that's listening, it's a really good piece on Lincoln, and it's very, it's not flattering in some cases, but it's very honest and true to history.
I bet it'll come on YouTube sometime.
Now, what is the thing in there that is the least flattering about Lincoln?
Well, probably the fact that he going into politics and in his early life, and of course some of this was based because he married a girl from the South. He wasn't really anti-slavery in the beginning.
Yeah, I had heard that.
And really, the whole question of getting the 13th Amendment passed and the proclamation, the Emancipation Proclamation, really was almost a political move.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's probably the most unflattering part of history that a lot of people don't realize.
No, he did.
And of course, a lot of people think that the Civil War was entirely about slavery, and it was not.
No.
So,
secession was more important at the time, was it not?
What's that, Glenn?
Secession was the most important thing.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Initially.
Right. And, of course, your character, James Buchanan, didn't help things at all.
Right, he didn't. Stood on the fence.
Well, you know, as I said before, he kind of sat on his hands over a couple of years.
Yeah.
But and Jefferson Davis, of course, was in the United States Senate and resigned the Senate in order to accept the presidency of the Confederacy. So, and Jefferson Davis was Zachary Taylor's son-in-law.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that... Hmm. And, of course, Mary Todd Lincoln, her sister's husband was a general in the Confederacy.
Huh. Wow.
And they actually brought that part of it out, I think, in the either next to the last or last episode. So, yeah, but it was a very interesting special, and I'm sure CNN will run it again several times. They usually do. But
Lincoln was a lawyer, right?
Correct.
But not as we know lawyers now. He didn't go to Harvard Law School.
No. You studied law. You read law.
Yeah.
And then you actually read law with another individual who's an attorney.
Right.
And his partner in Springfield was a guy by the name of Herndon, H-E-R-D-N-O-N. And they remained friends, really, throughout their entire life. In fact, it was Lincoln's thought that when he finished his terms in Washington that he would come back to Springfield and continue to practice law, because he told his partner, I think his first name was John, he called him Johnny, when he left Springfield, he told his partner, he said, leave the shingle up that had both of their names on it, Herndon and then Lincoln, or Lincoln and Herndon. And because I'll be back, of course, you know, we didn't make it.
But you know, one of the things that I'm really finding interesting in trying to figure out how I'm going to handle being James Buchanan is I'm learning about Mr. Key.
Oh, yes.
Who was his friend.
Right.
And also a vice president.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and There's some interesting backstories on that, and if you don't stumble across them, I'll make sure I share
okay,
them with
I'm
you.
Working on it.
Hey, I'm not going to call anymore. It's almost noon.
No, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
740-383-9944. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, feel free. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. Call on in. 740-383-9944.
It was kind of interesting. I'm really learning a lot about a man that most of the people didn't like. It's kind of like he's kind of like the Jim Jordan of.
Now a lot of people
I
like
know,
Jim Jordan.
I don't know any, but yeah, they're
he
probably
gets reelected and reelected and reelected. It's
yeah,
all fine.
I know. We're sheep.
Well, do you think people really vote for who they want to vote for? I do.
No.
You don't?
I think they vote like you've talked about before, R&D right now.
Yeah, but I think there is a level you get to where so many people are aware of you that that really doesn't mean a whole lot anymore.
How many things have bad things have we found out about Mr. Jordan? Bad things that we found out about Mr. Trump? Bad things that we found out and about Mr. Clinton? And we still vote for him. I think we vote R&D. Period. I don't think.
Well,
there are 10%, 20% of the people that are voting that really think through it, but not very many.
Well, why don't we hold the early presidents, the early politicians, to such a high level, high standard?
We didn't have television, newspaper, or radio that would delve into all that stuff.
Darn it. Go ahead, caller.
I thought of a question.
Go ahead.
Now, if you had somebody that wanted to run for any office, doesn't matter what office,
mm-hmm.
they were very charismatic, people liked them, but they neither identified Republican or Democrat, do you think they'd stand a chance?
Well, in New Hampshire, maybe.
Are you saying national office or local
yeah.
or state?
Any office.
And they're charismatic.
Very charismatic. People just loved them.
Right.
But they were neither Republican or Democrat. Do you think they'd stand a chance?
I think they'd have a chance.
Well, I think it depends on the office, because the problem is, locally, they would stand a chance, but the chance that somebody who would be charismatic and well-known locally is, those are few and far between.
Yeah, very.
And also, it's hard to get charisma out on the local level, mm-hmm. because how are people going to see your charisma? You don't do speeches in front of large people. You don't have debates. You don't. There's just not enough publicity locally to do that. On the state level, you'd probably have the best chance because they will put you in the debates. They will cover you. You'll be seen on statewide television. So that person could. But nationally, you're going to have a much harder time because you're going to have to run as an independent, and the Republicans and the Democrats control the debates now, and they're not going to let you in, certainly if you're charismatic.
That's right.
That's what Ross Perot. After the Ross Perot three-person debate, they said, we're never letting a third person on this stage again in the main elections, because Perot was charismatic,
and
he got a lot of votes.
Yeah, he got about 15% of the vote, I think.
Yeah. So on the state level, you could. National, locally, I think it'd be very hard.
If you scheduled a televised speech at the same time as the debate was on another network, do you think you'd get enough viewers to throw off the debate?
That might be tough, because they won't have known you well enough by at that point.
Now, remember now, I said you're very charismatic.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
Well, you got to find a network that's going to opt out of covering the debate.
Yeah.
Well, there's lots of networks, even though they're all owned by the same people. There's still lots of networks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't want to be on, like, Univision. Nobody's going to watch that. It's
or
very
Trump's
tough.
New show.
It's very tough, because charismatic is never going to be a blanket trait that works on everybody.
Yeah.
You know, one person might say, well, that person's charismatic, and somebody else is going to say, well, they're conceited.
And that really good for Clinton.
Well, I think
that
Clinton
helped him.
Yeah, well, I think people said Clinton was charismatic, but a lot of people said Clinton was phony. That he was.
Well, they're all phony.
Well, see, I don't know, because you know what?
I wasn't phony.
I have met a lot of very well-known politicians who I don't believe were phony at all. I think they were exactly who they were.
You don't think they were just giving lip service?
What's that?
You don't think they were just giving lip service?
Well, I'll tell you. When I interviewed Jim Jordan, for better or worse, he got angry with me. I mean, Adam still talks about it to this day.
Yeah.
And I think anybody who has seen Jim Jordan on television in the preceding years knows he's a little hot-headed. So I don't think he was putting on a show for me. And Governor Strickland, you know, we had the caller who called in who said his wife was handicapped and Governor Strickland was late to a meeting and he stopped and came over to the car to talk to her. Nobody took a picture of that, but that happened. That's who Governor Strickland has been with me over the years. I don't see any phoniness there.
Me too. Yeah.
Mike DeWine to talk to is very monotone. He's very straight, but he knows his facts.
Very short.
I think that's who he is. Rich Cordray, I told this story when he ran for office. I interviewed him in the parking lot over at the VFW. He never looked me in the eye. He looked at his feet the entire conversation. So I think he was who he was. I think a lot of them are.
He's kind of shy, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Depends.
Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich was very charismatic.
Yeah.
And he was that way when I interviewed him.
Yeah. I think I heard that Kucinich interview.
Yeah. I don't think they turn it off when the microphones go off. I
think they measure.
Well, very few. I can tell you who the fake ones are, but I'm not going to because I want them to still talk to me. But there are a few that it is a show. And you know that very quickly. But by and large, the names that you would know, they're not a show. I don't think you can be a show and run for statewide or national office.
No,
I think it's very hard.
You have to remember all the things that you faked.
So back to my question, you don't think a guy like that, or a person like that, would stand a snowball's chance?
No, I think it'd be entertaining, but I don't think, I think people run with those parties because there's a belief system, and at some point, the charismatic person is going to be asked questions, and that's going to either endear them or vilify them to one or the other set of voters. As soon as that charismatic person is asked how they feel about abortion, same-sex marriage, and gun rights, it's over. They're no longer charismatic anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
They're going to lose half the people.
They're going to lose half the
right.
people.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's the show.
It's a good question, though.
It's a very good question.
If anybody calls in and has other opinions.
Yeah.
Let's see what they have to say.
I think it depends on the amount of charisma that person has.
Hey, well, thanks for the thoughtfulness.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Don't you think those are the three questions, though? Abortion, same-sex marriage, gun rights.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, however you answer that, you're going to endear yourself to a group, and you're going to vilify yourself to the other.
Except national polls show that two of those three things are highly agreed upon, and they are the things that the Republicans don't like, and they are the things that the Democrats seem to tout, like gun rights.
Well, I think Republicans like gun rights.
They like having gun rights.
Yeah.
But gun control, I should say, is when they do a poll, a huge amount of people want constraint on gun control.
Yeah, but isn't it strange to me? I mean, I understand the polls, but here's why I think the polls read that way. All three of those issues, and they are the main issues. They always are. Economy fits in there, but that's plan of how to fix an economy is very off in the woods. Those three issues are black and white. And the interesting thing about those three issues, they are all minority issues. How many people get abortions in this country? It is not over 20%. How many people marry same-sex? It is not over 20%.
Oh, it's not even close.
No. Yeah. How many people own guns illegally in this country?
Actually, gun ownership is very low.
Low.
Yeah.
So why are those the big issues? They affect the minority of the country.
Because they've been turned into scare lessons. You know, oh, they're going to take all your guns away, or oh, they won't allow you to take care of your body if you're a woman. And I'm picking both sides of that. I mean, there are just a lot of things that both sides can scare you about on those three issues.
You know, it seems to me that the founding fathers, and we go back to them all the time, and I'm talking about Washington, Adams, Madison, Jefferson, Franklin, those people. I really don't think they would give a hoot about any of those issues at all. Because I think they were very hands-off.
And I don't think those were very big issues at that time. They had muskets. They did. If they did have an abortion, it was done at home.
But what I'm saying is, I don't think if they lived in the current time, they all, to me, seem like people who just don't. It's not. That's not a governmental issue to them.
Well, and slavery wasn't either. So.
Right, which is why you got what you got there.
Yeah, that's right. Out of the first 12, only one president, Adams, was
and you know what?
Non-slave owner.
And how much do we credit him with? We're more worried about him throwing or threatening to throw a reporter in jail.
Boy, I'm glad you fixed that thing around your neck. It was starting to drive me crazy.
But, I mean, isn't that bizarre?
It is.
That slavery is such a big issue. Race is the issue of our time. Whether or not you think there is racism or not, when you look at what happened in the 60s, when you look at voting rights, when you look at the Civil War, when you look at Emancipation Proclamation, when you look at separate but equal, when you look at drinking fountains in schools and all that, it is the issue of our time. It just is. It's always going to be an issue. It is.
Well, now we're even saying that there's such a thing as critical race theory.
Okay, so you have all that, and yet, when we look at those founding fathers, those old men who put together this country, that we still refer back to their Constitution and their Bill of Rights as the defining documents, that issue is not the big one. You know, we're willing to be very forgiving about that issue with them.
You mean slavery?
Yeah, because you cannot say that they didn't know, because Adams did know, because there was one who wrote about it, who didn't own slaves.
He was from Massachusetts.
That's fine, but he...
North.
But, you know...
Yeah, the rest were Southerners.
Okay, but does that make it right?
No.
Did they not read his paperwork?
Probably not.
I think they did. I think they read his paperwork. But we don't give him the credit. We don't say, hey, he got it right.
He was kind of a curmudgeon.
I guess he wasn't charismatic.
No, he was
not charismatic. If only he had been charismatic, he'd have been okay. No, he was. He was the loudmouth.
Yeah, he was.
He was the charismatic one.
Well, I don't call that charismatic. That way, he was just a loudmouth. I mean, you can be a loudmouth and not be charismatic. Charismatic means people like you for whatever reason. They like you, and they didn't like him.
Well, they did, but I think he told them what he thought.
Yeah, he did.
There was no, you knew where you stood.
Yeah.
You know, the others probably didn't know where you stood.
One of my least favorite phrases is, I tell it like it is. No, you tell it like you think it is.
Right, but what's wrong with that?
Oh,
at least I know where you stand.
But I just don't like people saying, oh, I tell it like it is, because most of the people that say that are just offering their opinion rather than what it really is.
But, I mean, I still am baffled, and I know this has been a long-running theme. I am just baffled at why John Adams does not get more credit on that issue, because of all the other issues of that day, that's still the big one.
Oh, I think you're giving him credit right now.
I am, but historians don't.
Yeah,
he's not above Jefferson or Washington.
Oh,
or
no,
anything.
No, he's not.
Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Scott. Morning, Glenn.
Hey, morning.
How you doing?
Good. Do you got the grub ready for Terry today at 5 o'clock?
We have a no-grub zone in the studio.
He's probably just angry right now hearing about this.
Well, if he hears about it, because he doesn't know unless he's listening. So, we gotta keep the studio nice, you know?
Okay. There is a problem with that when Terry eats.
Yeah, we find stains everywhere.
Hey, I just wanted to a point of correction.
Okay.
If you study a lot of the early documents, the Federalist Papers and things like that, actually slavery was a very big issue. As a matter of fact, slavery was so big of an issue that it was going to prevent the formation of the United States. Basically, the northern colonies and the southern colonies could not get over that hurdle, and the only way to actually come up with the United States one country was that the northern colonies had to give in to the southern colonies on that issue.
So why do you feel Adams, being the only one of the first 12 who did get it right and who wrote about it, who didn't have slaves, is not given much credit for that? He certainly does not rank Jefferson and Washington or even Madison levels.
I don't know why he doesn't, you know, get the credit that he is due. The way history is written and the way history is taught, unfortunately, I think there are a lot of people in certain situations that don't get credit for what they did and who they were.
You know what's interesting to me? What I always find funny about those first presidents who helped write, craft, come up with, vote on the Declaration of Independence, if they violated it, they're violating their own paper. And the Constitution, much like many things, is up to interpretation. So if the people who wrote it are doing something, why do historians think they're in violation of something in the Constitution? They wrote it. Clearly, they didn't feel that's what it meant. You know, they get, I think, I'm trying to remember the story, but Adams does get a lot of anger because he went along with jailing somebody for saying bad things about him.
About him. Yeah.
But you know what? Adams helped write that Constitution that said freedom of the press, freedom of speech.
Yeah.
So he must not have thought he was against what he helped craft and vote on.
Probably not. He probably didn't think he was in violation of it. But the other thing to remember is people are flawed people, regardless of who you are. And you can come together and you can put down a high set of principles that you all agree to live by. But quite honestly, as flawed people, there are going to be members of that group that are violating their own papers that they've come
that's
to write.
Still are, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Hey, what's on the agenda today for Live at 5?
Not food.
Not food. We're going to get together and we're going to talk about whatever comes up. I am going to share the last three pictures of the Cardinal statues downtown.
Oh, cool.
And so we'll talk about them. And just talk about whatever comes up.
Hey, I did hear a replay of the show, the end of it, and I heard your commentary about the female cardinal, about apparently how it's not in representation of any of these important women in Marion. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I was honest, and I'll be honest, I was disappointed because the cardinal is Women of Marion. So instantly, I think of, Florence Harding. I think of, Madge Cooper. I think of, Mary Ellen Withrow. And then, the Cardinal was just a fancily decorated, bird to celebrate women. And it was just a disappointment to me. That's all I can say.
I can understand.
Are we saying that these bird statues are all male?
No, we're not. Okay. Well, they are. They're
not all red. I mean, a lot of them are different colors.
They're not all red, right. But they, I'm assuming that they're, male. I don't know. Maybe they're not male. But,
it's hard to tell.
They had a specific cardinal for the Marion Fair, depicted things of the fair. And they have the cardinal for, the Urang Indians and Jim Thorpe and the Football Hall of Fame. So I just was disappointed when Women of Marion didn't really focus on important women of Marion.
Yeah, that would be a good thing.
Good point.
Know.
Hey, thanks for calling.
All righty.
Have a good show.
At 5 p.m. today, live at 5, the show with no name. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. It is sad that women in Marion are not getting their due because we've had some very important women. First Lady, Florence Harding, Madge Cooper, First Lady in radio. We've documented that. Certainly Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, national level. Marilyn Meskey, Miss America. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's why would you not? I think sometimes we do that with women unknowingly.
Thoughtlessly, yes.
Well, but it's...
Not mean thoughtless. Just don't think about
we
it.
We don't
right?
think about it.
Yeah.
We don't think about it. We're the town of Harding, I guess.
Hey, I did find out why Adams was not favored. He's one of the ugliest presidents.
Is that what it is?
And he's
short.
And his son, John Quincy, was no better looking.
Well, but see, that's also part of the thing is that his son.
Yeah.
You know, look at that. You know, his son went on to become president.
That's right.
So he must not have been all bad.
Yeah. No, I don't think any of our presidents, well, I'll take that back. Most of them were not bad. The one I'm going to depict is probably down at the bottom of the barrel.
So why is James Buchanan coming out of mothballs when we have 46 to choose from?
It's a great question. I think the person that chooses them, and we both know who he is, who called in twice today, doesn't like me.
That was going to put you in the James Buchanan role?
Yeah.
Who are some presidents? I mean, we depict the big ones all the time, but who are the ones that don't get depicted that you would like to see depicted? I'd like to see Taft. I've never seen Taft anywhere.
I haven't either.
But you're talking about Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, I believe. You got a former president. I never see Taft depicted anywhere.
I don't think I've ever seen Eisenhower depicted that way.
Not a lot. Maybe Eisenhower. Wasn't Eisenhower at the dinner we were at? Maybe he wasn't.
I don't know.
Might not have been.
I don't know.
But I think I would love to see Taft. I would love to see... Who else is a good one that we don't see a whole lot of? Doesn't make a whole lot... Well, John Adams. I'd like to see John Adams.
I'd like to see Millard Fillmore.
Millard Fillmore.
Because Johnny Carson used to make so much fun of
you
him.
You want to be Millard Fillmore.
Yeah.
But I just think there are certain presidents that get no publicity that led very interesting lives.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there were. Yeah. How could you be president and not have an interesting life?
Well, probably in the 19th century, it was doable.
Yeah, well, Buchanan didn't have much of an interesting
life. Well, apparently he did. Depends on what closet you were looking
he
in
really
in those
did.
Days.
Yeah, he really did. Oh, well.
What did he do?
He led to a complete stonewalling of what was going on right before the Civil War.
You don't see a lot of Woodrow Wilson.
No, you don't.
Herbert Hoover. Herbert Hoover was a very interesting man.
Speaking
when you look
of
at
ugly people, yeah. Okay.
Why are you picking on Herbert Hoover?
Because I'm thinking of him. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, Herbert Hoover was so popular during the first part of the 20th century. They wanted him to run for president long before he ever did. He was a big deal. He wins for the presidency in a landslide, and then the Great Depression happens, and he can't do anything.
Got killed, yeah.
He got killed, and Roosevelt takes him out. But he lives a long time. I think he lived to be 90 or something.
90s, yeah.
Yeah, and he lived in a hotel in New York. I mean, boy, if you could study that guy, that's material after material after material.
I'm having just enough problems finding about James Buchanan, let alone somebody that really did something.
Well, I wonder, you know, you didn't hear much about Herbert Hoover after he left the White House, but he lived, I think, longer than Kennedy. Well, Kennedy, of course, was taken out, but the 60s, I think he lived into the 60s.
I don't know how many there are, but there aren't a whole lot of one-term presidents, and maybe that had something to do with it.
Yeah, but he worked in Harding's cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
He was highly popular in the teens, I guess we would say, of the 20th century, and went on to become president, and yet... Well, Roosevelt, He said Franklin Roosevelt said Herbert Hoover was a hero of his.
Yeah.
Well,
I think I
how things
that.
Change. Yeah. How things change. And he was one of those guys that I believe both the Democratic and Republican Party both courted to be their candidate. Because back then, you know,
wishy-washy.
It was a little wishy-washy. Well, Eisenhower was that way too.
Yeah,
the Democrats
course.
Went after Eisenhower.
Yeah. And I think he initially thought of himself as a Democrat. And
well, because he was working under Truman and Roosevelt, and you know, I think it caused a great anger between Truman and Eisenhower.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, because he didn't go the right way, I guess.
Sorry.
Well, that's that. We've got Progressive Life with who's Glenn? Yeah, I gotta remember that.
Dr. Feynman.
Glenn and Dr. Feynman coming up here. I got all the names right yesterday. We've got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond at 4 p.m. Pastor Craig, Terry Tackett, Nate Redmond live at 5 today of a show with no name. And Trinity Baptist Church at 6 p.m. today. Tune in tomorrow. More programming. Scott Spears for this day, heading for the dugout.
Gonna be 94 years old. I'm so grateful to God.
And from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, Mr. McFeely.
If there's anything you want, if there's anything you need, McFeely's delivery brings it to you here with speed. Yes, our speedy delivery is a speedy delivery. Speedy delivery to you, Scott.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1.